Today is Recovery Sunday at Crossing. September is National Recovery Month. It's a national observance to promote and support treatment and recovery practices. And, you know, I could say a whole lot about this, what it means to me. But what for me was only a dream in the late 80s is now far beyond my wildest dreams of what this church does day in and day out to help all of us who at different times of different seasons have troubles and trials of many kinds. That's what the Bible says anyway. And I'm thankful for what takes place here. We have several opportunities for those ready to take some steps in recovery and wholeness. And interestingly enough, 20% of our participants are dealing with substance abuse. That means 80% are just as sick, people like you and me, who are just as sick and need help. And we need attitude help. We need to get through some things. So I'm just thrilled that this ministry exists. Many of you take us up on it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful moment in our church. We also have a wonderful ministry out in our atrium today. Hope is Alive. And I am so thankful for Hope is Alive. Lance Lang and Allie have done a phenomenal job. They now have sober living homes around the country. And what the way they do it and what they invest in it is unlike anything I think we've ever seen. And that's why they're in Wichita and the Carolinas and all around us. So they're out there as well. If you want to stop by and see them or congratulate them or thank them, they're good people. Step studies, very important for men and women. There's quite a schedule for those. And they're available also out in the atrium to give you the various studies that are available on various days and times at Edmond and in Oklahoma City. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book, Letters and Papers from Prison. And I want to jump in today on a statement that he made about the church. The church is the church only when it exists for others, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell people of every calling what it means to live for Christ, to exist for others. William Temple said a similar thing. He said, the church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. We can't forget that. It's important for us to keep in mind. Why are we here? Today is a message that I used to do once a year for many, many years. Every year, one time a year, I would talk about this topic and this very message. So I want to talk about radical prayer today as we close this series and get ready then for the fruits of the Spirit starting next week. It takes radical prayer to get us through what we've got to go through. It takes radical prayer for us to have communion and fellowship with God Himself. And who wouldn't want that? It takes radical prayer as a parent to know how to best love and lead your children or your grandchildren. It takes radical prayer to keep a marriage strong. So much hinges on prayer. And I've, through the years, had this list of six radical prayers. I used to call it dangerous prayer. This is now, it's more radical prayer. And I think it's something that is good for all of us to revisit. And I want you to think very clearly. I've got six prayers we pray that are radical, and we better not pray them unless we want an answer. Because if we get the answer, it's going to get interesting. This week, I always, you know, I've got some wonderful, brilliant minds around me in the hallway where my office is, and there's more upstairs where I'm not, but wonderful staff, wonderful team. But this week, Cliff Sanders made this comment. I have a radical thought about prayer. He sent me this email. I have a radical thought about prayer. I will not live in the arrogance of prayerlessness, for to not pray is to think I am sufficient for all of life. Isn't that good? And he's like five doors down from me, you know? Terry's two doors down. How do you, you know, that's an incredible hallway till you get to my door. I have a radical thought about prayer. Radical. And unfortunately, this is radical because we have a tendency to live in the arrogance of prayerlessness, and we forget that to not pray is basically saying to God, I've got this, I'll let you know if I need you. That is not following Jesus. That is not being in tune with God. Having God on speed dial is not where you want him. You want an ongoing, living, breathing, walking relationship, communion with God. And he's willing to give that to us and have that. Dallas Willard said something I've just loved. People who understand and warmly desire to hear God's voice will want to hear it when life is uneventful as much as when they're facing trouble or big decisions. Isn't that good? That if you really want to have communion with God, if you want to hear God's voice, we can hear it when everything's okay, when everything's going well. Just sometimes we're not as eager to hear it as we are when we're in trouble and we cry out, okay, God, I need help. And, you know, I don't know how God does all this, but I mean, God is God. He can't. How do you explain that? But there's times I say, oh, God, I need help. And sometimes I feel like I hear him saying, it's about time you asked. I've been willing all along. Sometimes I think God might say, it's kind of fun to watch you try to fix things on your own. How's that working for you, Marty? Many times we're facing trouble. Sometimes it's trouble we create and trouble we choose. And many times when we're in trouble, we've made this mistake of thinking we can fix it. Now, granted, we all have talents, abilities, that clearly there are things we are able to do that are healthy and helpful to relationships and our interacting with other people who are different. Clearly, we have abilities that God has given us. But we are unfortunately forgetting the power of this incredible opportunity to have communication with God Almighty. Scott McKnight said this about prayer. Prayer is loving communication with God. Prayer is loving communication with God. So let's talk about radical prayer. I've got six of them. You can write these down if you want, and we'll walk through it. Here we go. Humble me. Kind of starts right here. The psalmist said he leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. First Peter says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in his good time he will honor you. Our nature is to seek attention, to seek the applause, rather than let God use you in a way he wants to use you. Because if we humble ourselves under God's mighty power, it says, in good time, and in his good time, or another paraphrase might say, and in his due time, he will honor you. We just don't like to wait for it. But really, life isn't going to get much better. Life can't go much further. Our walk with God can't go much further until we are willing to literally humble ourselves, in essence, fall on our faces before God and say, oh, God, I need you. And literally, maybe we need to pray, some of us, Lord, humble me. Now, be careful if you pray it, because there'll be some way he will do it. And usually when we get humbled, it's got a little pain on it. Humble me. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Don't just look out for your own interest, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude Jesus had. Humility, really a good definition of humility, is when we don't need to be important or applauded. And we all know this. I think the most enjoyable people to be around are those who are humble and they're comfortable in their own skin and they know who's in charge. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. They're just simply being what the Bible calls them to be. It's this radical prayer we pray, humble me. Because when I'm humble, I'm prepared for what God might want to give me. When I'm walking in humility, then I'm listening better. But it's a tough one. But prayer is loving communication with God. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And in his good time, he will honor you. That's the first prayer. Second prayer, search me. Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Search me. When I ask God, when you and I ask God to search us, basically what we're saying is, help me see the truth that I'm not seeing. Help me understand something I'm not understanding. Or help me have faith to trust you because you understand everything that I don't. But search me. What is there anything going on inside of me, in my mind, in my thoughts, in my actions, that needs to be dealt with? So we pray this radical prayer. Okay, God, search me. I'm an open book. I'll hold nothing back. I'm not hiding. Never, as if we could. Search me. Show me. What do you see? I remember going to a counselor once, and I'm a big fan of that, by the way. I've had several. A lot of them quit when they just didn't feel like they were getting anywhere. So, but I remember going to one, and I thought, I'm, you know, something. The cylinders aren't firing quite right for me. And I sat in front of this counselor, and I'd never met him before until that day. He doesn't go to our church, which I'm always looking for somebody that doesn't go to the church, you know. I don't want anybody in this church knowing I got to talk about to a counselor, you know. So I find someone. And he said, well, why are you here? And I said, I want you to listen to me. Ask me any question you want about life. I want you to listen to me. And when you start seeing something they didn't write, then stop me. Call me out. Where's that, you know, and he did. Boy, you know, you try to get three words out. Where's that coming from? How do you feel about that? Let's talk about that. Search me. I'm an open book. Free me from the unnecessary pain of denial. Help me to see my blind spots. Help me to be honest with myself about my motives and attitudes that drive my thoughts and actions. So we humbly, radically invite him to search us, test us, help us see some truth about ourselves. Humble me, search me, forgive me. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. It's a powerful statement. It's a radical request. Forgive me. Forgive me is when I'm really ready to, because when I say forgive me, that means I realize there's something not right. I realize there's been an action, there's been something said that is not right. There's been a thought that should have been immediately dismissed. When I say forgive me, I'm admitting there's things in my life I need to be forgiven from. And David has really messed up. And Psalm 51 is this great confession of his. And it's, you know, starts right there. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your compassion. Blot out the stains of my sins. Sermon a few weeks ago on the Holy Spirit. The phrase I left you with was, this Holy Spirit really is that gentle nudge you get. It's a nudge. It's just you feel God's Spirit just kind of saying to you, there's something better for you. It's always God just nudging you and saying, you know, there's some things you need to address. There's some things going on in your life that have no good outcome. And for some, that may be a substance. For some, it may be issues relationally. It may be your finances are in a mess. It can be a lot of different things. That's one thing I love about our step studies that are offered here for men and women through the week. I mentioned them earlier. It's getting through those things, and you need help to get through them. So we pray, search me, humble me, search me, forgive me. Forgiveness is so critical to our spiritual lives. Because if I can't forgive myself, then I've gotten in the way of God. I'm controlling something that God is in charge of. I'm going to carry that guilt because I deserve it, we say. I don't deserve forgiveness, so I'm just going to carry it rather than ask for it or work through it or see what it's required for us to come to a place where maybe that relationship has some sense to it or some sanity to it. Sometimes there are things we don't intend to say that can be hurtful. I imagine we've all walked away from a conversation where we instantly began to think, that didn't come out right. That didn't sound helpful or kind. And we either turn around and go back to that person or write a note or make a phone call. Forgive me, I was being insensitive. Radical forgiveness is when you can genuinely, with God's help, forgive someone you never thought you could forgive. Forgiving someone who's hurt you does not mean the relationship is going to be exactly like it once was. Forgiving someone of a deep wound is a great thing to do. It's something you need God's help doing, and it frees you when you can let that go. But it may not mean that whatever it was will be restored. There are times forgiveness means you can kind of get back on track in a relationship. There are times forgiveness means I'm going to let this go, but we're not going to ever cross paths again. It's just best that we don't. That's just human nature. Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 14, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive others, the Father will not forgive you. That's strong word. I wish there was, you know, I wish I could say, now in the Greek, what this means is, you don't need the Greek New Testament to know what that means. It's pretty clear. Jesus said, you forgive, you're forgiven. You withhold forgiveness, you're not forgiven. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive others, the Father will not forgive you. We can't accept one of the greatest blessings God has for us to forgive us from something that a burden or some weight that we're carrying because we know we messed up. And that wonderful sense that you get, that nudge you get from God's Spirit when it's clear that he didn't give up on me, he says, let's get up and let's go try that again. Let's learn from this and go on and move forward. Forgiveness does not mean when we're hurt, we bury it. We don't say, shake it off. Forgiveness may take time, perfectly fine. When you've been hurt, to prayerfully take the time you need to forgive somebody or to wait for their forgiveness, whatever that may be. So we pray, humble me, search me, forgive me. Number four, change me. Change me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You know, I found a statement this week that I've always felt is true, but it's this, that Psalm 51 may be the clearest example of repentance in all the Bible. David has messed up in a big way. He has cheated on his wife. He's had sex with another man's wife, and he sends her husband off to battle in hopes he'll get killed so he can kind of bury all this ugliness. Doesn't work. David gets confronted by a friend who cared enough to confront and say, I'm going to talk straight with you. And so then David writes this, Psalm 51. I mean, I keep saying I'll read a little bit of it, and then I read all of it because it's just really good. But let me see if I can even start to paraphrase it. But this is one of the greatest examples of repentance. It's a good read. Frequently, revisit Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge. And it just keeps going. Cleanse me. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Do not cast me from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit. Give me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Isn't that great? David's kind of acknowledging what was true, that God never wastes our mistakes. God never wastes the things we regret. Now, he wants us to quit dwelling on it. Sometimes we're forgiven and we just keep going back and back and back. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I feel awful about this. I'll carry it the rest of my life. And maybe to some degree that's true. But God will always take our trials and turn them into help for someone else. There's just nothing better to hear sometimes than someone puts an arm around you and says, I've been there. I've been there. In fact, that's one of the things I love about our church. We're not afraid to admit, hey, I've been where you are. Let me walk alongside you as long as it takes to help you find forgiveness. So we say, forgive me. Number four, change me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Change me. I love Ephesians 3:20. All glory to God who's able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. NIV says immeasurably more. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask for or imagine. Now, with a promise like that from God, why wouldn't we let him do that? Change me. I think throughout life, there are seasons. We just need to step up and say, okay, Lord, this is a new season. This is a new challenge. This is a new situation. I don't feel up to this, or I seem to be not doing it very well. So, Lord, change me. Help me see something I'm not seeing. Help me act in a way I've never had to act before. I'll tell you, one of those times that came to mind when I was writing this, it was when our first child was born, when Tyler was born. All of a sudden, we've got a baby. And you got to have all this equipment now. I mean, you got to have all these seats. You got to have this. You got to. I mean, it was, and you know, something about having a child, you just don't get any sleep. And we still had another one. Little girl. 13 months later. And then we had another one after that. We waited a few years and threw there for Cole. But when you've got three little kids, most of you have been there. There are days you don't feel very spiritual. There are days you don't feel very godly. There are days you think you're really messing this up. And there are days I'd step back and go, these kids are going to need such counseling because I'm their father. So we prayed, change me. Lord, I mean, that's just one example. There are many more. Change me because I'm in a new season. I've not been here before. I need to change some things about me. I need to change some habits or some disciplines. I've prayed that for 35 some years as the pastor of the church. We always seem to be, God's always nudging us somewhere into another, something else. It's like, God, I've had enough. Will you stop for a while? Could we just take a pause? And he goes, no. But I'm going to change you. Change me, for I pray. Help me see this. I've never seen it before. I may not ever see it, but you're going to take me through it whether I see it or not. And God always shows up, you know, and surprises us. Change me. Humble me. Search me. Forgive me. Then change me. And then finally, or the fifth one, I'm sorry, number five. Lead me. This is interesting. And they left their nets at once and followed him. What are you having trouble letting go of? It's radical prayer, and we say, okay, humble me, search me, forgive me, what we find there. Change me into the person you want me to be, and then lead me. But what do I need to let go of? You know, it's easy to think, well, these guys were fishermen. This was their career path. That's how they made their living. But it says they left their nets. You know, fishing nets, if you've seen them, and those nets in those days were big, they're sturdy, they're heavy, they're hard to handle and manage. They can't be inexpensive. I mean, I can't imagine what a net would cost in modern day terms or what it might have cost even then to probably have to make it. This was their career. This was their source of income. This was their family business. And they left their nets and followed him. Sometimes if we're going to follow, if we want to follow, if we want him to be radical and pray that radical prayer, lead me, we have to let go of something. Typically, there's something we're holding on to that we might need to let go of. And it always typically means letting go of something that might be distracting you from his best for you. For the disciples, he called them to make an immediate career change. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And that was as bizarre to them as it sounds to us. What are you holding on to that you know keeps you from letting God lead you? To pray, lead me, means I'll change direction in life. Letting God lead may require a good counselor or something to deal with something that's holding you back. It may mean being discipled by a person you know who will help you see what God wants to do in your life. It may mean a 12-step meeting or a step study. It may mean attending a robust Bible study that draws you closer to Jesus. But whatever it takes to let God lead you, are you willing to do it? He will lead us. And isn't it great that the one who wants to lead us knows everything about us? He knows the future. Why not let him lead us to it? To what he has in mind. But you can't say lead me until you're willing to let go of what's holding you back. And then finally, use me. It's kind of a progression of radical prayers on our way to being used by God to do significant things in the lives of other people. As for me, Isaiah says this, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. I want to read this in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. He says, then I heard of the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Here am I. Send me. Use me. There are times God says, I'm going to use you, but it's going to make you very uncomfortable. And you know what I've learned? Usually when it seems really uncomfortable, it's going to be really good. There's something on the other side of that obedience to God. When you say, use me, God, use me where you need me in any way. Use my strengths, use my weaknesses, use my pain, use my failures. I want to introduce you to a young lady in our church who has prayed all these radical prayers. Whether she knew it or not, and you'll hear it in what she says. So I want you to turn your attention to the screens. Let me introduce you to Lisa.
I mean, I grew up with what people would have called a picture-perfect life. I come from a family of engineers, pretty analytical, so I always felt a lot of pressure that I needed to be perfect. I needed to perform, I needed to be the best in everything that I did. And when I didn't, the pain was more than I could even put into words. There was abuse going on within our home, and in high school, I had already started to experiment with different drugs and alcohol to try to escape the pain. When I moved out to go to college, the same day that I moved out, my mom moved out and my parents got divorced. Moving from Minnesota to go to OU, I was in a new state, no hardly anyone here. My family was now falling apart. I was already in a bad situation and it quickly started to get worse. And I found myself lost. I was struggling with abusing different drugs of pretty much any variety, was struggling with eating disorders and depression. It was a terrible cycle. It felt like I could just never get out of it, and I knew that I needed help. The one thing that I had moving down here were my grandparents. They were the first people that I really felt showed me unconditional love and gave me a glimpse of the unconditional love that Jesus has for us. So even as I thankfully had my grandparents there, I still didn't believe in myself. I started to look to find God. I wanted to know if there was a God out there, who he was, if he loved me. I was desperate. Through all of the work I'd been doing with my counselor, I had gotten to a much better place. I had been volunteering at Crossings Celebrate Recovery simply as a greeter. They had a commencement night, so someone was sharing their testimony. I felt like God was really calling me to get involved in this step study. I had thought that I would go into this program to help others and give them hope. And then in completing the program, I realized that that was really my denial talking and that I needed this program and it helped me more than I could have ever prayed for. This is a safe place, a judgment-free zone of people who will love and support you to help you to find the healing that you deserve. I've gone through a lot of challenges in my life, a lot of pain. I've made a lot of decisions that I'm not proud of. I want to just say that I'm thankful for every single one. I don't have any regrets about them. I know that God was with me the entire time looking after me. I've found peace that I've never felt. I've found strength that I've never had. I feel this sense of love that for the first time in my life is not coming from people around me, but I know is coming from my Creator.
Isn't that great? Humble me, then search me. Forgive me, then change me. Lead me, and then use me. I'm going to invite our prayer teams and our pastors to head toward the front of all the rooms, and the prayer teams will be available to you. If you have anything you need to talk about or something you want to be prayed for, we were happy to do that, and that's our privilege to have a chance to pray with you all. But I want us all to pray this prayer. You've seen it. It's one of my favorites, and it sort of covers everything I just said. It's the Serenity Prayer. So let's say it together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this simple world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. And all the people said, amen and amen. God bless you.